In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We celebrate today the feast of the holy, glorious, and all-praised apostles, Peter and Paul. Out of all the countless generations of mankind, out of all the vast multitudes of every tongue and tribe and nation to have lived and walked upon this earth, Jesus chose precisely those two men, above all others, to stand at the very forefront of the ranks of his holy disciples and apostles. But what is precisely about those two men that caused Jesus to so highly exalt them? What virtues made them worthy of such uncompared glory and praise? What ascetic feats and labors did they accomplish that the Church should today set before us as the highest of heroes, the two pillars of the Church, worthy of all honor and the most steadfast imitation which we sinners can muster? On the surface, there is much that separates these two saints. Saint Peter was a poor and simple man, unlearned and uncultured. Saint Paul was a citizen of Rome. He was a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee, one highly educated at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of his fathers. Saint Peter was with Jesus from the very beginning of his public ministry and spent years at his very side, witnessing all the wondrous events of the gospel firsthand. Saint Paul, on the other hand, did not so much as glimpse Christ while he walked on the earth prior to his glorious ascension. St. Paul's experience of Jesus was strictly heavenly rather than earthly. And so it was St. Peter who became the first of the apostles to confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. St. Paul, however, became the last. Of course, there is much more than unites these two saints than separate them. The most obvious trait they share is their great and unparalleled zeal for God. Saint Peter constantly showed his readiness to cast aside absolutely everything and run after Christ. From his first encounter with the Lord at the Sea of Galilee to the last, neither did he in any wise hesitate to lay down his very life itself at the end, sparing a thought only to ask that he be crucified upside down, since despite being the foremost of all the apostles, he nevertheless felt profoundly unworthy of meeting death in the same form as did his Savior. The Romans thought it was funny to crucify him upside down, so they agreed with that. St. Paul, for his part, likewise freely cast aside absolutely everything for which he has spent his entire life laboring before he met Christ, and henceforth he lived with such abundant zeal that nobody could doubt him when he proclaimed, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Therefore, dear faithful, each of us ought to pray fervently today to these holy saints to help us to imitate their apostolic zeal and so to become sharers in their apostolic labors and participants in their apostolic love. And yet, there is a hard truth here, and one we must always keep before the eyes of our hearts. Even such great and unmatched zeal was utterly unable to keep Saint Peter from denying his Lord out of fear of a simple serving girl. It was likewise unable to keep Saint Paul from his savage and bloodthirsty persecution of the very Church of Christ. In fact, it was not only in spite of their great zeal that these two saints each suffered their most terrible fall, but it was precisely because of it. St. Peter's zeal was what led to his false and foolish boast that nothing could ever cause him to deny or abandon Christ. St. Paul's zeal was, of course, the very reason he went to such great length to hunt down and destroy every Christian he could possibly find, whether in his own city or in any other. And so, we must take to heart these two twin lessons, that zeal is absolutely necessary for us in the spiritual life, and that nevertheless, at least on its own, it is also wholly insufficient. But through their great and terrible falls, Saint Peter and Paul are also ready to teach us a third and final lesson, one which is by far the most important that any man or woman on this earth can possibly learn, and that lesson, quite simply, is the incredible power of repentance. A power springing forth from the infinite and incomprehensible mercy and love of God. Yes, it was through their greatest virtue that each of these saints suffered their greatest fall. But even more amazing is that for each of them, their greatest fall was precisely what brought them to know the incomparable greater love which the Lord Jesus has for each and every one of us sinners. No matter great our failures were, no matter how terrible our faults. It was through their own personal experience, bitter beyond any measure, yet sweet beyond all compare, that each of these saints became able to confess, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And it was through the power of this confession, the power of their profound repentance, that they went forth to become the greatest preachers of the gospel that this world has ever known. Because they both know that if the gospel could save them, then the gospel can save anyone. Dear faithful, what profound humility. What unshakable faith. And indeed, such humility and such faith are far from easy to come by. After all, it was not only Saint Peter who betrayed Jesus on Great and Holy Thursday. And in this terrible reality, is laid bare the sharp and double-edged sword of sin. It is unavoidable that the believers should suffer false. As we have seen, even the greatest of the apostles themselves could not avoid them. But what will come next? Will our sins cause us to flee from before the face of God, as did Adam at the first, and did Judas at the last? Or will our sins cause us to run to Christ in repentance, as did Saint Peter and as did Saint Paul? This is the great choice, and truly the only choice of our lives on this earth. And to make our choice rightly, we need precisely such profound humility and such unshakable faith. It is only in that way, through mysterious humility, incomprehensible to the world, that a true Christian comes to one of the two greatest revelations in life. The first of these revelations is that one must discover the truth about oneself and see oneself as one truly is. We must meet our own self. And believe me, is the most important acquaintance. A vast number of people live their lives never even bothering to discover themselves at all. Sometimes we only have the vaguest notions or fantasies of who we are. And so, depending upon our own vanity, pride, resentments, ambitions, we see nothing. But the truth, however bitter it might seem to us, is that we are weak, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Remember that verse from the book of Revelations. And this truth only comes to us through scriptural and ruthlessly honest examination of oneself through true humility. True humility does not humiliate a man. On the contrary, anyone who survives this ordeal, this bitterness and harshness of truth, becomes a saint. It is only those who are humble who can peer into the future, who can become prophets and miracle workers, wondered at by all of us. But what is the second revelation? That there are two main revelations in a person's life. The first is to become acquainted with one's own self. The second is a truth that our church patiently reminds us of in every single divine service, without exception. May Christ, our true God, through the intercessions of His most pure Mother and of all the saints, have mercy on us and save us, for He is good and loves mankind. And so, dear faithful, on this great and holy feast day, let each of us fervently beseech the holy, glorious, and all praise leaders of the apostles, Saint Peter and Paul, to open our spiritual eyes to both of these truths in equal measure. Let us not shrink from the knowledge of our own wretchedness, weakness, but let us also never forget the boundless love of mercy of our God. Let us hold both of these two truths together, so that when we inevitably suffer from sinful fall to our passions, we will be able to run zealously, not away from God, but straight towards Him. If we can muster the faith and the humility and the courage to do this, then Christ, our true God, will without any doubt turn even our most shameful defeats into the most glorious of victories, no less than He did for St. Peter, and no less than He did for St. Paul. Through the prayers of our holy fathers, Peter and Paul, Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us. Happy feast day. Amen.